A nostalgic trip back in time with children's TV. Television may well have been launched for adults, but we are sure many of you remember the small screen before losing your sight. And now many of you enjoy programmes in sound only. But it was not long before special attention was paid to entertaining children. Coming home from school and watching children's TV programmes while waiting for tea time may be a favourite memory for many of us. Saturday morning was another time when television programmes geared for children would be screened. For preschool children, though, there was Watch with Mother, which was televised at 1:30 p.m. every weekday with a different programme every day, such as Andy Pandy, Bill and Ben the Flowerpot Men, and the Wooden Tops. There were usually only small numbers of episodes of each programme, as 26 programmes were adequate to cover 6 months, and as audience outgrew the series and were replaced by a new audience, repeats would not be a problem. They ran from 1952 to 1975, so listeners from a wide range of ages will remember these puppet-based shows. The title, Watch with Mother, was chosen so as to deflect the fears that television might become a nursemaid and cause mothers to neglect their duties. In 1963, Tales of the Riverbank, also known as Hammy Hamster, and originally broadcast in Canada, joined the Watch with Mother cycle. The series was originally narrated by the Canadian Paul Sutherland, but since the BBC didn't want any Canadian accents, Johnny Morris, who also presented Animal Magic, voiced the showings in the UK. Animal Magic had started in 1962 and ran until 1983. It saw Johnny Morris dressed as a zookeeper at Bristol Zoo, and jovial voiceovers were applied to various animals. But the show was discontinued when this anthropomorphic treatment of animals fell out of fashion. Favourite series, which include intelligent animals, were Lassie, about a rough collie, which ran from 1954 to 1973, and Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, which ran from 1968 to 1970. In both these series, the animals took part in adventures, and, because of their unusual intelligence, they were able to help people and foil villains. The children's magazine programme, Blue Peter, was first televised in 1958 and is still going, making it the longest-running children's TV show in the world. Many listeners will remember presenters making things and then showing an already completed version. Here's one I made earlier. The Pets and Annual Appeals for Good Causes. Over the years, Blue Peter has had 41 presenters, and it is likely that viewers during the 1960s and 1970s will remember John Noakes undertaking many daredevil tasks, like helping to clean Nelson's column. Many viewers will have received a Blue Peter badge for writing to the show. In 1968, Thames Television decided to create a rival magazine programme to Blue Peter, but attempted to be more hip and focused on contemporary culture. The programme, called Magpie, lasted until 1980, and, unlike its BBC equivalent, its special appeals asked for cash rather than stamps or other second-hand goods. Madcap comedy was another theme in children's television programme, and trio of shows with supernatural characters are Cat Weasel, Pardon My Genie, and Rent-A-Ghost. Cat Weasel, which broadcast in 1970-71, was about a wizard who was being chased by Norman soldiers in 1069 when he jumped into a pond and said a spell. When he came out of the pond, the Normans had disappeared, but he had travelled 900 years into the future, into 1969. Naturally, the technology of the 20th century seemed like some very advanced magic to an 11th century magician. The terms trickery for electricity and telling bone for a telephone are quite logical renderings for someone trying to grapple with an unfamiliar world. Pardon My Genie, which broadcast in 1972-73, featured a hardware shop apprentice called Hal Adden, a pun on Aladdin, who had summoned a genie by rubbing an old watering can in the shop. The genie's magic is as rusty as the watering can, so the wishes granted are accompanied by comic misunderstandings. Rent-A-Ghost, which ran from 1976 to 1984, is about a firm run by a recently deceased loser called Fred Munford, who tries to find work for ghosts who were as unsuccessful as he was. His first and only recruits were a mischievous jester called Timothy Claypole, who had a comic lack of knowledge of modern technology, and Hubert Davenport, a Victorian gentleman who was disgusted by the modern world. And the show's plots revolved around the antics of these ghosts as they were hired for various tasks. The Wombles, which was televised in 1973, will really chime with today's emphasis on recycling. These pointy-nosed furry creatures lived on Wimbledon Common and collected and recycled rubbish, and included the old and wise great Uncle Bulgaria, the shy and intelligent Wellington, and the greedy and lazy Orinoco. The series ran from 1966 to 1981 and answered any questions starting with the word how, which could include from the profound to the silliest, and focused on all subjects including science, history and languages. Each show started with the presenters wearing Native American headdresses, raising one hand and giving the stereotypical Native American greeting, how. This popular educational series has been revived twice, in 1990 to 2006 and 2020 onwards, but obviously without the Native American references, which would nowadays be regarded as a cardinal sin of cultural appropriation. The space race and the moon landings of 1969 inspired The Clangers, a stop-motion children's series which ran from 1969 to 1972, featuring pink mouse-like creatures that lived on a small moon-like planet. These creatures ate green soup that was supplied by the soup dragon and spoke in a whistled language. The first specially made Saturday morning TV show was Orbit, which was fronted by Alan Taylor and his alien puppet friend Chester, and ran from 1973 to 1975. This was followed by Multicoloured Swap Shop, which ran from 1976 to 1982 and was fronted by Noel Edmonds. This show was groundbreaking in many ways, being live, being 3 hours in length, and using the phone-in format for the first time. The contents included visits from public figures, with competitions to win prizes offered by the personalities. There was also a swap-a-rama element, where Keith Chegwin and the outside broadcast team would go to various parts of the country and children would go there to swap belongings. Cartoons from the likes of Hanna-Barbera, Warner Brothers and Walt Disney will be another popular childhood memory. Many listeners will recall characters such as Tom and Jerry, Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner, and the comic violence that takes place in these shows, which would have been far from funny if the same thing really happened in real life. The Flintstones is set in a humorous imagining of the Stone Age, but with technologies and institutions that resemble late 20th century suburban America, while dinosaurs are depicted as also still existing. The cars are made of wood and stone and are powered by people running, so bear very little resemblance to 20th century vehicles. While we're dealing with TV nostalgia, let's also mention a cartoon creature enjoying a special year. This year is the golden anniversary of Bagpuss. Bagpuss is most magically saggy old cloth cat in the whole wide world, is 50 this year. The children's show first aired in 1974 and featured its co-creator's daughter, Emily. Made by Peter Firmin of Harwich and Oliver Postgate, Bagpuss lived in a shop that was a home for lost property. It makes me feel very old because he's 50, and obviously I was about 7 when they took the photographs, Emily, now 58, said. He stood the test of time. He's still a favourite. I think my father would be so proud that he's still as popular as when he first came out, Emily, an artist, said. Despite only 13 episodes ever being made, the programme remained a much-loved watch down the generations and was voted the all-time favourite children's programme in 1999. Bagpuss would come to life after Emily left the animals alone, with the film then changing from sepia to colour. And when Bagpuss woke, so did his friends, Professor Yaffle, the woodpecker bookend, Gabriel the toad, and Madeline the rag doll, as well as the musical mice on their magical mouse organ. Peter Firmin said getting a BAFTA in 2014 was touching. Together they inspected whatever item Emily had left them. Gabriel and Madeline, voiced by John Faulkner and Sandra Kerr, provided songs and stories, although the mice often sang too. Today, Bagpuss is on show at the Beanie House of Art and Knowledge in Canterbury. Each episode had a different storyline and covered so much, and they were slightly educational as well. It was amazing that he was so popular, Emily added. My sister remembers coming home from school and the fabric was laid out all over our garden on the lawn for my father to cut the pieces out. It was very much the norm, seeing films made in my home. It didn't seem odd. It was amazing. A very big, family-orientated production. Mr. Firmin also masterminded Ivor the Engine and the Clangers with Mr. Postgate, and won a BAFTA for a lifetime's achievement in delighting children in 2014. He was awarded an honorary degree at the University of Essex in 2015 and died in 2018.